Praise God. Adrian has already said, who's Adrian? Adrian. Okay. He's already said about the week that we've just had, the last, well, perhaps 10 days or whatever. Hang on a minute. I think I must have switched. Adrian has already said about what a momentous time that we're living in. It's extraordinary, actually. 4 days, we had a new prime minister and a new monarch. So God is on the move. There's no doubt about that. And I would suggest to you to hang on to your hats, because it's going to get bumpy, I think. Yeah, it's going to get bumpy. Of course. Praise God. I will accept that. I do believe that that's true. That it's, well, I think for unbelievers, this is going to be tough. It's going to be tough for us as well. However, we have a God, don't we? But God. And so this is a bit what I've got in here, actually. That it is very understandable for people to get wobbly knees in the situation that we're going into, because everything, I believe, possibly even the monarchy, will be shaken. I don't say that's from God, I'm not sure, but the thought occurred to me. And possibly, you know, I do believe the church will be shaken, and certainly the nations will be shaken, because we're living in such a time as this. But we have a God. And I know that what we've experienced in this last 10 days or so has been one of God's suddenlies. I mean, who expected it, you know? We knew that a new prime minister was in the offing. We had no idea. We knew she was old, bless her. Wonderful, beautiful, sovereign lady that she was. But we didn't expect it to be on when was it? Thursday? Was it Thursday? Tuesday, when she, there's a word, isn't it? She commissioned Liz Truss as Prime Minister. Thursday, she was with the Lord. I do believe she's with the Lord. That's extraordinary, isn't it? For such a thing to happen so quickly, but God knew all the time. So, I'm just going to put that there. But if we think that it's one of God's suddenlies, I think it's good to be prepared for suddenlies. And, you know, it's very difficult to be prepared because we don't know what's going to happen, do we? So how can we be prepared? And, I mean, we've been told the cost of living is going to skyrocket. We've been told the energy is going to go through the roof. Now, for some, this is going to be a real problem. When I say for some, I'm just thinking if your faith is not rooted in Christ, this was going to be a real problem. But I'm coming to encourage all of us, including me, that we have a God. We have a God. Now, we are told to be good stewards in all that we have, all that God has given us. And the inclination for the natural man in times like this is to hang on to what you've got. It's the inclination is to count every penny. It's to be very, very careful in how you spend and what you do. But I want to come and tell you, and I'm sure you actually know it already, but I want to come and remind us, perhaps that's a better word, come and remind us that the best way to be prepared is to live by kingdom principles. There's no other way in such a time as this than to live in kingdom principles. So instead of being holding tight to what we have, I would encourage all of us to give and give. And when you think you can't give anymore, give some more. That's of everything you have. That's of the giftings, that's of the service that's of your money. I want to come and chat about money. Money is a good sorter-outer, isn't it? So this is what I believe what God wants us to focus on today. If there's anything that exposes our hearts, it's money. God's very clever, isn't he? I think he knows exactly. You see, many people would say, well, I want to give. I want to give. But, you know, I've got bills to pay. And we've all got bills to pay. So, of course, we're not foolish. But when we have, when things are pressing in, that's when we ask the Lord, we seek his face. And when he says give, and when he says how much to give, we just give it. Even though it means there's going to be a bit of a problem here for me, Lord. But isn't that what it's all about? God wants us to be generous-hearted, open-handed givers. In 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, we're told of a situation. The Christians in Jerusalem had a problem. And they had a need, and Paul told the need to the Macedonians and the Corinthians, and they wanted to help. So they decided that they were going to give financially to the believers in Jerusalem. And they didn't just give their money, they gave their support, they gave all that they had to be in line with the vision that God had given. And the Macedonians gave out of their extreme poverty. I remember many, many years ago, we were living in Zimbabwe, and we did outreach into some of the villages there. And so we had a weekend or a long weekend or something, went around various villages. And there was one particular area where they welcomed us so wholeheartedly. And not only welcomed us, but they fed us, which was extraordinary for people who didn't have that much themselves. They fed us, and they gave it with all joy. And it's very humbling, I believe, when people give with all joy. It's not begrudgingly. It's not, I wish you weren't here. This is actually for me and my family, but it's have. And it's a beautiful thing, and I believe that's the way God wants all of us to be. I want to talk about money and grace, because in, I think it's 2 Corinthians 8, it starts off by talking about grace, and then he goes on to talk for two chapters about money. And we all know that we are saved by grace. We all know that we are sanctified by grace, and that we are healed by grace. And that that everything we have is by grace. So why do we think that giving is not by grace? We tend to think that giving is law. And I think it's because of wrong teaching years. I'm not saying in here, but I'm talking about years ago within the general church. There's been some funny teaching, I think, about tithing, giving. So, you know, I want to ask the question, does our God only respond to how much we give and then he gives back to us proportionately? Is that what we think? That's a question, isn't it? So we think that when we give, God's going to give back to us. But this isn't separate from grace. So giving is not outside of the realms of grace. I do believe we've been taught wrongly. I've heard years ago, not so much recently, but certainly years ago, pastors or leaders would say, when they're talking about tithing and giving, Malachi 3. You know Malachi 3, don't you? It's been rubbed into you. Malachi 3, verses 8 to 7. If you don't pay your tithes, you're robbing God and you're cursed with a curse. I mean, this is basically the teaching. They may not say those very words. They would have read the scriptures and then basically made everybody feel very guilty. But that's not how God works. For instance, that is Old Testament. That's Old Testament, isn't it? In the New Testament, we know for sure that Jesus has taken the curse on our behalf. We are no longer under curse. We're under grace. We're under blessing. And to make people feel guilty, thinking that, you know, if I don't give, well, I tell you, it reminds me of the Guido thing, doesn't it? That, you know, Guido who comes to the corner shop and says, if you don't give, you know, if you don't pay, we're going to come and smash up your shop. Now, people don't think that. They don't think that, but they actually, the impression of that is deposited in the hearts, that if I don't give, then God is going to get me. You know, the car's going to break down, the washing machine's going to fall apart, you know, la, 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 la. And that's because of the probably the subconscious thought that my giving is related to how much God's going to bless me. So I better give, I better give, I better give. That, of course, is under law. That's under law thinking. And if we think that way, then we are in contravention of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, because it doesn't say that. So in the New Testament, the motivation for giving has changed. First of all, we know that we're not under any curse. We are free. And it says every man should give as he purposes in his heart. Give what you want to give, not what you feel obliged to give. Give what gives you joy. What amount sits good with you? Give that amount. And don't feel guilty because God... Yes, exactly, exactly. So the thing is that when people speak about or insinuate or intimate that if you don't give, then the wrath of God is going to come upon you, they're really coming from Old Testament thinking. And it's not an accurate representation of God. Even in the Old Testament, in Psalm 50, God was reprimanding the Israelites, saying, you know, you do this, you give, you know, you give the bullocks, you give the lambs, you do it all, but I have a bone to pick with you. And the reason is, it was the state of their hearts. They were doing things under obligation. There was no joy. They didn't see the goodness of God. They just thought, well, you know, this is what we've got to do, so grit your teeth and do it, type of thing. But in 2 Corinthians 8, and starting at chapter 1, Paul starts by talking about grace, and then he goes on to talk about giving. So the two are connected. Giving is within the grace of God, just the same as any other part of our lives. So we know that we are free from the curse through Jesus, and we know that we are under grace. And that we give according to what God has put on our hearts. But what he puts on our hearts, give it. I think that's the thing. It's obedience. It's that obedient thing that even if you think, well, Lord, do you really mean that? You'll probably say, yep, I do. Just give whatever he says for us to give. And do it with all joy. We don't give, by the way, because the church we are worshiping in needs a new roof, or we're going to extend the building, or there's some ministry we hear of, and they're very poor, and they need money. That's not why we give. We can give if we want to, if the Lord puts it on our heart in that situation. And of course, we have to know that there is a practical side, like in this church. We have to pay the heating. We have to do all the various things. But that's not why we give. That's not the reason, the motive for our giving. So what is the reason? Why does God want us to give? He doesn't need our money, does he? He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need our money. He owns all the gold and the silver in the world. He owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't need anything from us. But he tells us to give. So what's the motive that he wants? What pleases his heart? So, the reason God wants us to give is it's because he wants us to see him as our source. That's the reason why. He doesn't need anything from us. But as we give, then we're able to open the way And we're able to see that He is our source. He wants all of our strength, all of our time. He wants everything that's in our lives. He wants us. But if there is no faith, then it hinders Him from working. Without faith, we cannot please God. That's what it says, doesn't it? So therefore, we need to give by faith. So God is saying, trust me to provide for you. Even if you think that you're not going to make it through the month, you know what they say, too much month left at the end of your money. But nevertheless, God is saying, trust me that I will provide for you. So He says, give me a portion of what you have, and then trust me to bring it in for you. If you're in that situation where it's going to be really tough to give. Giving is all about love and relationships with God. It's not a, you know, it's not a, we give so that God is not angry with us. He's not an angry God. He exhorts us to give for our benefit. If you remember in Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 17, round about verse 4. God said to Elijah, when Elijah was at the end of his tether, He said to Elijah, go there because I have commanded the ravens to feed you. Do you hear the tense? I have commanded the ravens. So He was speaking to Elijah in the present, telling him. And then He said, I have already commanded the ravens to feed you. And so God's provision has already been given before we get to that point. It's not as if we give and then God has to respond to our giving. No. God has already commanded all the blessings that we need, whether they're financial, whether they're health, whether they're healing, whether they're whatever we need, God has already provided it. But he said to Elijah, go there. I have commanded the ravens to feed you. He didn't give it to Elijah here where Elijah was. He said, go there. And that place there is where we receive what God wants us to have. Elijah would probably have starved to death had he stayed in his place. The provision wasn't there where he was. He had to go there, that there place. And that there place for us, I believe, is when we go and we receive that there by faith. We receive it by faith. So God has already made provision for everybody here. And He wants us to prosper, by the way. He gives us what we need. He said he's given seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Some of the money we receive is for bread, for our daily needs. Some of it is seed to give. And we have to ask God, what's seed? What's bread? And so and He will tell us what is seed and what is bread. And the seed, if you think of seed, it's planted into the ground, it dies, and it bears much fruit. So when God gives us seed to give, and we give it, it multiplies exponentially the good that we've given it for, and we receive some of the blessings as well. We receive blessings. So God's giving, God's principles of giving is for our benefit so that we can step out in faith. He does not respond, as I said just now, that we give and so He gives us back proportionately. That is the law and the law. That's not the way God works. He did that for the Old Testament that thing of Malachi, this is what I believe, because he had to teach them that there was a sacrifice needed for their salvation. So in a way, they were receiving the blessing by credit, because Jesus hadn't yet died on the cross. So they were receiving it in advance, as it were. But we have Jesus. We know that he's died on the cross for us. We know the grace that he is. We know his goodness, his kindness, and all these things. So God wants us to our giving enables us to receive what God has. So he has set up his kingdom so that it takes faith on our part to receive it. So it's not God responding to you and then he moves. That's, if you think of it, that's quite audacious. If we think that we are in charge and we give and then God moves. No. God has already provided. It's already there. And we receive it by faith when we move in the direction God has told us to move. So we don't just need to say that we believe God. We need to act it out. We need to put action into the words. Because we can say we believe God, but then, you know in James that so does the devil. The devil also believes in God. He knows for sure that there's a God. And for us, we need to not just say, we need to do. So that our giving is part of that doing. That giving in that active way is part of that doing. And God does give back. He does bless. But it's by his grace and it's by his in the way that he believes that we need. And I'm sure all of us have been blessed by God giving back to us because we have given something. Doesn't matter how much it is. I don't believe it matters to God, the amount. The amount is neither here nor there. The whole thing is, where's your heart? Your heart is attached. The attitude of your heart is attached to the money you give. Remember when it talks, I think it's in Matthew, about if you're going to go and give your gift and then you remember your brother has something against you, whatever you do, don't go and give your gift now. Wait. Sort it out with your brother and then give. Why do you reckon that is? I puzzled over that. Why is it that you must sort out any misunderstanding or confusion or whatever it is with your brother or your sister before you give? I think it's because heart attitudes are attached to our giving. And God wants to bless us. And the enemy could have a legal case against us if we don't first sort it out before we give. Because I think if the enemy has a legal case, it means that our giving is of little effect. We don't want our giving to have no response. We want our giving to have a response, both so that it blesses wherever we're giving, and it also blesses us. God wants to bless us. Giving is part of his blessing to us. So if you give out of your abundance, I think you need to give until you really need God to come through for you to make it through. But it's hearing from the Holy Spirit what he wants us to give, how much he wants us to give, where he wants us to give. So we need to say, Lord, is this something I'm supposed to eat? Or is it something I'm supposed to give as a seed? You don't eat your seed. You give your seed, you eat your bread. And if we go by that principle and asking God, what is bread? What is seed? And, I do believe that we can say to God, Would you give me seed to give, please? God does that as well. If we don't have, we're looking at him and think, ooh, but we can ask God, I want to give. And have faith that he's going to answer that prayer. He will answer that prayer. I promise you he will. He will answer the prayer if you say, I need seed to give. And then suddenly you'll find an amount comes to you. That's your seed to give. And all the time, we're looking to him as our source in every situation. So we don't have to, when we hear these prices going up and up, we know that God is our source. He is our provider. He is the one who provides everything, everything. There's nothing that we can say, well, it was by me. I did it. No. God provides all that we need in every situation so that we can be abundant givers. God wants us to be abundant givers. Why? It's with all joy, isn't it? We can do it with all joy. You don't have to be thinking in fear, oh Lord. No, do it in joy. Do it with a rejoicing that, Lord, I'm giving it because you're worthy. You're worthy, Lord. And you have been my provider all my life. And you have looked after me. And you've got me out of all sorts of tight situations. It's been you, Lord. And I just want to give because it's a joy to give. Because you're worthy. And it is with all delight that I give. So be a joyful giver. And know that we must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And everything we need will be added to us. I know sometimes we think if it doesn't come immediately, God's not giving. But trust God. He will. He will extend our tent pegs. Give us a greater influence in whatever area he's given us. If we just do what he says, if we just give liberally where he says to give, and if we do it with a heart that's really full of the love of God for him and for brothers and sisters. So if you have a grievance, go sort it out quick, okay? Don't give until you've sorted it out. God wants to bless you. And he will bless you when we give with that open heart and open hand. Amen.
This is a testimony about the goodness of God in giving. When I was divorced, Janine, my daughter, was top of infant school. And I just had what I earned each month to pay the mortgage, to pay her childminder, to get to work. And it couldn't, the ends I needed as much as I earned again to keep going. And I used to tithe and I stopped. And I was just going. And I was praying to God one day about all the needs and everything. And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, tithe. And I was just like, God, I can't do it. And I just felt that conviction, tithe. And I didn't do it straight away because I was scared, because I didn't know I wasn't making it then. So if I gave some more, how on earth was I going to make it? It took me about 3 months, but finally I just said, okay, God, I'm going to try this. And do you know, every month God provided, I don't know how, because I couldn't write it down on a piece of paper, but for example, I'm sitting there and I'm saying, God, I don't know how I'm going to get to work this month. And I sat there, had nothing. And I was praying. I said, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I heard a knock on the door. And one of the ladies came from church. And she said, Winsome, the Lord told me to come and see you. And she said, not to ask you how you're managing or anything. Just open my purse, count what's in it and divide it exactly in half. And that's what she did right in front of me. And it kept me for the rest of the month. Another time, a gentleman, he's from Egypt and he was visiting and he's a doctor. He was working in Solihull Hospital, some exchange, something or the other. And we got talking at church and I invited him round for a cup of coffee or whatever it was. And the next day, there was an envelope. I didn't tell him my situation. There was an envelope through my door which paid to the penny my utilities, every single one of them. Everything I owed for my utilities was paid to the penny. And when I went to court for the, you know, the divorce, it was the child maintenance thing. That's what it was, because that has to be sorted first. And the judge went through my paperwork. He said to me, "I don't know how you live." He said, "I can't make it work." He said, your finances don't add up. He said, "The only thing I would say to you is not to tithe." And I said, "That is my source of income." Okay? So I'm telling you, I know it works.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Since I gave my life to the Lord, I have many testimonies, but they're coming out in a book at the end of September. But money is so important to tithe. It truly is, and I know it. But also, when I have seasons where I have money to give and I have seasons where I don't. And he told me, and I said, "Lord, you know, what is it, because I don't have any money to give, but I mean, blessed, 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 and I keep receiving, receiving, receiving. What is that, Lord?" And he put this screen in front of me, and he showed me a recording of what my life looked like in the last 2 months. You know, I would see a homeless man on the street, you know, nobody would talk to him. I'd go there and give him my time. I'd tithe him an hour, and I'd share the love of the Lord with him. And everywhere I went, I was tithing love. I was giving my time. I was giving of myself, and it was coming back to me. And so that even happens now. And I tithe in secret. I give in secret when nobody knows. But, you know, I had a couple of young Christians that said, "You want to watch her? She's a taker, and, you know, she doesn't give because she hasn't got anything to give." But that's really a wrong attitude, because the Lord is my witness. But that's not what really I came up to say. It's when I first gave my life completely to the Lord. 15 years ago, I had 3 children, a very big dog, a Doberman, and a 5-bedroom house, a big mortgage. And the Lord told me to quit my job and serve him. And I was a chemist at that time. So I quit my job. And I had 0.00 in my bank account. And I had 30 pennies in my purse. That's what I had. And on this particular day, when I had 30 pennies in my purse, my 14-year-old son, who was a stunt blader, you know, the inline blades, he was doing all the stunts. He liked it. He'd always done it. But this day, he came in with a broken leg. And I had to take him to a cottage hospital. So he could get a plaster Paris put on his leg. And I go into the car park, and I've never been to this cottage hospital before. And I pulls in, and I just praise the Lord that I had petrol in my tank to get there. But when I get there, I see there's a ticket machine, and you have to pay 50 pence, or you get fined £75. Well, I had 30 pence, not 50 pence. And you might think, well, 20 pence is not much, and you really shouldn't bother the Lord with that. But if you need a penny and you don't have a penny, it can steal your peace. And he said, "Ask me that your joy may be full. Ask me." So I see, oh, I have this problem. I need 50 pence, but I've got 30 pence. And immediately I see my mind, that the human mind was trying to take me over. And I was looking down the high street. Well, is there a Lloyd's Bank down there? Maybe I have 20 pennies left in that account. Maybe there's something. Should you really check? This was what the mind was telling me. But as I looked down that high street to see if I could see a Lloyd's Bank, I saw the traffic warden coming up. And I had this appointment to be in the cottage hospital. I had a strict appointment. And I say to myself, well, this is it now. These are your options. You either go in the hospital, get the boy's pot on without putting a ticket on, and get a £75 fine, which you don't have the money to pay. Or you can just take the boy in with a broken leg and not get the pot on. But really, neither was feasible to me. It wasn't even practical on both counts. So suddenly I, instead of remembering the Lord first, I remembered him last. And I said, Lord, you said that you'd never leave me without comfort. You said you'd supply all my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ. You said, Lord, I said, I have a need. I need 20 pence. And he said, my child, it's all provided. I provided everything for you before you even came into the world. And I had this image, you know, of a father sending his child out, and there's a big cloth on the table, and everything I'd ever need, he'd tie it in a knot, put it over my back, and I come out into the world. He said, if you need such as a dime for a telephone call, it's there. I provided it, it's finished, it's done, it's yours, you call it in, you draw it out. And I said, well, it's mine, I want it. And so I acknowledged him, and I asked for it. He told me, it's yours. The minute he told me this, my mind was like looking in the bushes, scratching with my foot, and I said, shut up, mind. I said, I don't have to scrat on the floor looking for this money. I said, my God said that money's mine. It's already mine. He gave it to me. So shut up. Just then I turned around, and I tell you, the funniest thing, it was like as if there was a realm that I couldn't see before I petitioned the Lord, but it was there. But when I turned around, there was this red estate car. It was like a big sore thumb, you know. And it wasn't even parked correct. It was like it dropped down, like it was askew, not even in a correct position. There was a woman sitting in there. And I thought, I never saw that before. Where did that come from? But it was there. And this woman was sitting there, and she rolled her window down, and she said to me, excuse me, love. She said, do you need any help? I said, oh, I do. I said, I'm desperate for a 20 pence piece. And she went, come. And in a central column where the handbrake was, she had a pot, and it was overflowing with 20 pence pieces. She just dug her hand in and gave me one. And that was it. So I'm telling you, even if you're down to 0.00, trust the Lord.
I just wanted to mention an incident that Rosemary and I had as well, which I think demonstrates not only God's provision, but also his sense of humour. it was before we went to Zimbabwe, so it was probably about 1986. I was working as a self-employed builder, and in one of the villages near where we lived, I was converting two cottages into one. They were L-shaped for this young couple who lived in London but were wanting these as a sort of weekend place. So I was working on them, and things started to get a bit tight for Rosemary and me, and we were talking about our finances one evening and thinking, well, nobody owes us anything, it's getting a bit tight and that sort of thing. And Rosemary will confirm that before we went to bed, my exact words were, maybe we've been talking about God's provision, I can't remember, but my exact words were, I just can't see that there's going to be an envelope on the mat behind the front door with a check for £500 in it tomorrow morning when we get up. So you can imagine. We got up the next morning, the postman had already been, and there was an envelope on the mat. I opened it. No, nobody owed us any money. I opened it, and there was a check for £500. And a note from this couple whose cottage I was building, it just said, John, we know we don't owe you any money, you haven't put a claim in or anything like that, but we just felt we'd send you this anyway. So before we went to bed that night, God had already, it was on its way. And it was in the postman's bag or whatever it was, exactly what I had said. I can't see that again to the penny. It's God's sense of humor, isn't it? It's incredible.